The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We have with us our dog expert, Paula Feeney, and we are neck deep in questions. Can we start off with a 5-year-old Bichon called Bruce? Is that all right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
All right, this 5-year-old Bichon called Bruce, according to this texter, let me just find this, has started unprovoked barking at mainly men when out walking. If off lead, I put the lead on and give a displeased look. He usually looks towards me, delighted with himself afterwards. But I wonder, is this a fear response or if he's protecting me? I'm worried that somebody is going to get hurt. What's the best course of action? And there's a load of ones like that of people worried about dogs having a go at other dogs, having a go at people, barking all the time. Thoughts?
Sure. So this would be really similar to what I deal with day in, day out. Maybe 80% of what I deal with is similar to this. So when the dog is out on lead, it's barking at people, barking at other dogs. And quite often I have owners saying to me, you know, the dog is trying to protect me. Unfortunately, for the vast majority of cases, unless the dog has some kind of protection training, it's more of an ego thing with us. We hope the dog's protecting us. In the vast majority of cases, something really bad happened and the dog got off the lead, it would leave you standing there hoping it was protecting you. But in cases like this, and there's lots coming in, there's a doodle pulling on the lead, barking at other people, there's a German Shepherd doing the same, and we bring home these puppies and they're small and they're cute. We put them on the lead and we bring them out and the puppy is pulling on the lead. But now we have a German Shepherd that's 8 or 9 months old. We have a Golden Retriever that's a year old and nothing has changed in the dog's head. The lead still goes on. It goes out. It tries to say hello to other dogs, say hello to other people. But now it's 20, 30, 40 kilos. The dog has learned if I pull enough in this direction, the monkey will follow and it continues to do so. So it's all habit. And at this point, we have 8, 9, 10 months of bad habit building up. So that's why it's always such a good idea when you get a puppy before there is behavioural issues coming into play, talk to a trainer then. You could avoid the bad habits from coming in. But with dogs like this, and when you have especially a reactive dog, it's very frustrating. And unless you've had a dog like that, you don't understand how criticizing people can be when you're out on a walk. You know you have a problem. You can feel it at the end of the lead. You don't need Mary down the road reminding you. But in this case, what I would say to these guys with the madness is, and it might be controversial, at the moment, stop your walks. So as you walk out the door, you're increasing the habit happening time and time again. The dog is more successful. So instead of bringing your dog for a walk, pop the dog on the lead and get your dog listening to you in the house. Can the dog engage with you, look up at you and not pull on the lead in your house, in your garden, in your front garden? If the dog is full of mayhem and chaos as you're leaving the front door, you're not going to get that dog to listen to you or engage with you in the middle of a park with all of these distractions. So wind it right back in, start working with the dog's brain to get it tired rather than its physical exercise, because now you have dogs that are full of adrenaline and cortisol. You're full of adrenaline and cortisol because you're trying to hold a boxer bouncing up and down at the end of the lead and it's getting too frustrating. So wind it way back in, start at basics and teach your dogs in an environment where they can learn.
What about easy routes like saying I'll swap to one of those leads that goes around their nose or that leads from below the chest so they find it more difficult to pull?
Honestly, Anton, if there is something out there like that, I wouldn't be sat here talking to you because that is my bread and butter. It's what I deal with day in, day out. If I come up with that invention myself, I will be a very, very rich woman. Sometimes these things work for a while because it feels different to the dog when it's on the dog. So maybe it doesn't have a habit of pulling on a head collar, for example. So maybe it works a couple of times when you're out and about. The dog gets used to it and it goes back to the barking. So it's never the gear. Quite often what I will do is if the dog has really bad habit or association with one piece of kit, let's say a harness, for example, instead of trying to rebuild the good stuff with the harness, I might just change the dog to a collar because now we're starting from zero. And when the dog is on the collar, it's working, and on the harness, it can pull away.
Do you require all sizes of dogs to live up to the same standards? Because I noticed that small dogs seem to get away with murder compared to the bigger breeds.
It's a great question. And I can say to you right now, sure, of course I do, because a dog is a dog, but I would be lying. I have a 43 kilo Doberman and I have a 3 kilo Chihuahua, and my rules are very different. My 3 kilo Chihuahua, if I give a 2-year-old a lead, the 2-year-old can hold her. If she jumps up on a 90-year-old person, She's not going to do any damage and she's very, very sociable. She doesn't have behavioural issues, but she can go up on the couch whenever she wants to. My Doberman, for example, can go on the couch if I ask him to. I don't want him to sit on a cat or sit on the Chihuahua. He is not allowed to jump up on people. He doesn't pull on the lead because it's a different situation.
Can the Chihuahua and the Doberman successfully play with each other, or is the scale too different?
He tries. She's not overly impressed, but I've seen huge differences. Teeny tiny dogs playing with big dogs and they can be best friends.
Text to say, on the topic of little dogs, my little Jack Russell is 9. She has, over the last few years, become obsessive with licking her front paws and surfaces like the couch, brackets mostly at night, to the point she's almost in a trance. The vet gave medicated shampoo, but I don't think it does much. Any tips or any natural-based products that could help her? I worry that she's in pain.
Again, super question. And there's lots coming in that actually sound like they're more related to health than they are with training. And it's something we always have to look at, because if a dog is uncomfortable or in pain, we can train as much as we like, but we can't expect the same results. Dog nutrition is a huge passion of mine. And I think a lot of the allergies and intolerances in dogs nowadays are from pretty crummy ingredients in dog foods. Dog foods in itself is a science, and we could talk about that for the next 5 hours. But I would look at getting the dog on a really good grain-free fish-based food, and instead of putting medication on top of the problem, maybe look at the source of where the allergy is really coming from.
Text saying, my dog won't stop jumping up on people. He's a lab collie cross. You have your work cut out there, I would imagine. And does it because he is over-friendly.
This is similar to the lead situation, where when the dog was 8, 10, 12 weeks, this was probably cute and encouraged. And it's great for us and our egos because the dog is excited to see us. But again, when you have a bigger dog, it becomes a terrible, terrible habit. I would get the dog really used to, as you walk into the room, if you want your dog to be excited to see you and you love that enthusiastic energy, get down on the ground to say hello to the dog. You need to be teaching the dog a good thing is happening down low. Quite often I will see people enter a room and put a handful of food on the floor. If the dog is searching around the food or searching around the floor for food, it's not jumping up and in your face. So that's a really good way of changing the mindset of the dog when you walk into a room. It's not about jumping up here to meet me. It's also been very, very successful on occasion. You walk into the room, dog jumps up and you leave. You walk into the room again, dog jumps up, and it'll take 3, 4, 5 repetitions in a row, but the dog will learn really quickly. This is not leading to attention or physical touch or any of the things that I want. The person that I love the most is going away.
Well, particularly a lab collie cross, because they get things pretty quick. Is there anything to be said for, I always find it difficult to train a dog not to do something, but easier to train them to do an alternative behaviour. So instead of jumping up, sit.
And we obsess so much over, I want my dog to stop pulling on the lead, stop barking at other dogs. And quite often when I say to people, well, what do you want the dog to do? They have to pause themselves. And I say to owners time and time again, if you don't know what you want the dog to do, how do you expect the dog to know? When I'm out with the dog, if the dog's pulling on the lead and barking at the other dogs, I need to reframe it and say, what I need this dog to do is walk on a loose lead, check in with me every now and again. Maybe if it sees a dog, instead of kicking off the dog, it looks at me. That gives me a chance. Do I walk in the other direction? Do I praise the dog? Do I keep walking? You have to figure out, what do I want from this dog?
Interesting one here that you may or may not be separation anxiety. A text saying, my Yorkshire Terrier is a great little dog and is 10 years old. However, when she and I leave my mom's house, she barks in a ferociously horrible way. She's generally a quiet dog in every other aspect of her day, so this behaviour seems totally out of character, and we don't know why she behaves like this. The barking starts when she sees me get up to go from my mother's, and it stays happening until we're at least 100 steps away and the house is out of sight.
And it's funny because in real cases of separation anxiety, this would go on for a much longer amount of time. It's very, very likely in this case that maybe the dog got overexcited or the dog got a little bit anxious and started barking, and it happened a couple of days in a row. And now it's become less of an anxiety, but more of a habit. So when you put your shoes on or you pick your keys up, I start barking, you leave the house, and that's just what happens every day. So if we can look at something, maybe this dog loves a toy stuffed with food. So next time we put our shoes on, we get a toy, we put some food in it, and we give it to the dog. So we're changing that habit and muscle memory. Well, this is what we do every day. Dogs love routine. They obsess over it. That's why your dog at 6 o'clock will start crying or go to the press with the food in it, because they're expecting the same thing to happen every day. So we can change it up for the dog and try and get this dog out of habit. Why don't you do this when I put on my shoes? You get the toy, or this nice thing happens, rather than you bark at me for 100 steps.
Interesting one, and we may not have the time because it looks like a challenging one, but we'll give it a shot. I have a 3-year-old golden retriever who is the opposite of most goldens. Doesn't like being touched, minimal rubs, or absolutely no cuddles, or she will snap. We know how to handle her at this point, but how do we handle a newborn, which is going to be coming home soon and will be growing up with this golden retriever?
The delighted part of me is just really happy that this has come in now rather than when the newborn is here. Because when a newborn comes along, you don't have the time, energy or resources to be training a dog. So this has to be dealt with now rather than when baby comes along. Because the rate of rehoming in dogs once a baby comes along is massive.
Was that so?
Huge. That's one of the biggest reasons dogs are rehomed. But a lot of these behaviours are really fixable if they're dealt with before baby comes home. In this case with the golden retriever, there's lots to consider. So what's causing the aggression? Is it fear-based? Hugely, and something that I'd look at is it sudden onset? If anyone comes to me with sudden onset aggression, the very first thing I ask for is a report from the vet to say this dog is not in pain. Very, very often, sudden onset aggression is caused by pain. If it's not sudden onset, is there another reason? Is there something else going on outside the house? Is the dog maybe giving us signs and signals to say go away before it starts growling or before it snaps? Do we need to learn how to read the dog appropriately? Is it guarding objects in the house? So maybe it's guarding a bowl or guarding a couch. So we need to figure out first, why is the dog being aggressive and why does it feel successful in that, before we can address specifically, this is how we have to go about it.
So that's one where ideally call the dog trainer, get them to have a look.
Anything with aggression and or reactivity, it doesn't go away by itself.
Can I ask, you talked earlier about small dog training and puppy socialization. One of the things when you have a puppy, should you be handling them a lot to get them familiar with paws being touched, tail being touched?
Absolutely.
All that?
And the time to do this is not at 8:30 in the evening when the puppy has zoomies and it's running around like a lunatic. That's not the time to be sitting down trying to handle a puppy. When you have a tired, relaxed puppy, take a few bits of food, sit down on the floor, look in the puppy's ears, lift up its lip, have a look at its teeth, touch its paws and its tail. And you puppies are not fragile. You can wrestle with them and mess with them in a nice, soft, gentle way. But you're also getting them used to, then if a baby does come along and maybe a tail is accidentally pulled, if the dog has never had its tail touched before versus it's used to a little bit of rough and tumble, it's going to mean something else entirely to the dog.
And presumably as well, are you a believer in training them to have a soft bite?
It depends on the dog. It depends on the dog. So I think dogs that are trained and like to bite things, I would encourage to have a really healthy channel to tug and bite and chase and do all of these things. Because if not, you're saying to your specific breed that you bought for a certain purpose, don't be this dog. We can't do that. But we can say, golden retriever, don't retrieve my slippers, retrieve this toy. Husky, don't pull on the lead, but I'm going to give you a tire to pull.
Paula, thank you so much. That is Paula Feeney, dog trainer and behaviour expert. And we have more questions than we could ever possibly get to. So we'll gather them up. And the next time Paula is in, she and Pat will try to get to as many as is possible.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.